As always, I ask for your prayers today as we spend a little time looking into the Word. I feel impressed before we get into the message today to just give a piece of advice. We are, in just a few days, I think Wednesday will be Halloween. And I want to just give a piece of advice. Be careful how much you allow yourself to be involved with Halloween. There are evil spirits in this world, and many times without us even realizing what we're doing, we are giving invitation or communication with those kinds of evil spirits, sometimes through what would be simplest means on our part. But I would caution us to be careful how much we allow ourselves to become involved, because that has become a pagan celebration. It has become steeped in darkness. It has become a time where people will give themselves over to all kinds of vice, and it is an opportunity for Satan to take advantage. Just be careful. This morning, my little burden is on the subject of submission. Now, before anyone gets nervous about this is going to be one of those where he's going to talk to the women about submitting to their men, that's not what it's about. I have written on the board, submission. To your left, I have written Genesis 2 and 17. To your right, I have written Revelation 22, 17, with an arching line that connects the two. The purpose of that is, I believe that throughout the Bible, there is an overarching message of submission, recommended submission to God. Genesis 2 and 17 says this, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Commandments from the Creator to the creation. I've given you the ability to choose, and you can exercise your choice. My advice to you is, do not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you're going to suffer the repercussions of it. You will surely die. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Again, admonition to submit to the plan of God and partake of the water of life. But in order for us to partake of the water of life, in order for us to receive benefits and blessings from the Lord, we're going to have to be willing to submit to Him. Now I want to read a definition of submission. Act of yielding to power or authority. Oh my goodness. Just that phrase right there is enough to raise hackles in many people's minds today. Yield? You're telling me that I need to yield? To who? You? To what? This man wearing a badge? This pig that wears a badge? I got to yield to him? My teacher? I got to yield to my teacher? What are you talking about? I got to yield to my teacher. If I don't like what my teacher does, I'll tell my dad, and my dad will go sit down with that teacher, and he'll take it to the school board if he has to. Wherever he has to go with it, he'll take it as high as it has to go, and we'll get this taken care of. That's a mindset, folks, that as a society, we are breeding into our youth. We today are suffering the consequences of our choices as a society to instill those thought processes in their minds. The act of yielding to power or authority. Surrender of the person and power to the control or government of another. I'd like for us to first begin with a scripture, Romans 13:1. Very common scripture. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now I'm going to say this in my words. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but what God has given it. The powers that exist are ordained of God. Pilate was frustrated with Jesus because Jesus wouldn't respond to him. And he said to him, don't you know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to set you free? Jesus said, you could have no power at all except my Father had given you. Truer words were never spoken, folks. If there will be power and authority in this world, it comes from the source of the ultimate source of power and authority. It can be abused. It can be terribly abused. And it has been. And because it has been, people rise up against it. But I say to us, one of the reasons we're having so much trouble in our society today is because we don't want to have to accept another person's ideas, thoughts, or beliefs as legitimate. I don't have to agree with them. I don't have to embrace them. I don't have to accept them as being my own. However, I would do well to understand that if I want someone to respect me, if I want someone to respect me and what I believe, then I ought to, at the very least, give the same courtesy and respect to them. Now, I understand there are some very radical systems and beliefs in this world in which we live and hard to swallow. I understand that. It's hard to swallow. But the God that created everyone in this world, folks, that gave life to everyone in this world, gave them the ability to think and reason and process. Now, I realize that sometimes that's skewed. I realize that it's affected by the environment in which they are brought up, where they're reared, their community, the cultures. I realize it's very different sometimes. But may God help us to realize that if I cannot, first of all, submit to the authorities in this world, I'll never be able to submit to God. If you get your hackles up when the blue lights come on and you get pulled over for speeding, and you look at the situation and everything inside you just wants to... There's people out there that are killing people. There's people out there driving drunk and under the influence of drugs all day long. And he's going to pull me over for speeding. Yeah. He pulled you over for speeding. Because it's a violation of the law. And if there's something inside of me that just... when that happens, pushes back, I have a problem with submission. I have a problem with submission. If that happens when my boss tells me something, that's the last thing I want to do. Been down that road. It's the boss. Does it always make sense? Many times I've walked away and scratched my head and thinking, in a couple of weeks, this is going to be a 180 on this one. But I'm going to do what I'm told. Do just what I'm told because I want to preserve my job. I'm not going to do anything illegal, unethical, or immoral. But I want to preserve my job. These are things, folks, that you and I are faced with in the world in which we live. These are things that our children are faced with. And I want us to understand that there are things that you are going to face in life, young men. There are things you're going to face in life that you're not going to understand, you're not going to agree with. And sometimes you're going to have things spooned into your mouth that's going to taste so bad. And you're going to want to spit it out. The best thing for you to do is grimace and swallow and go on. Because sometimes it's better to submit than to fight. Fight back. What we're seeing in our world today, in our nation, in the United States of America today, folks, is people unwilling to have respect for one another and not wanting to yield to authority in any kind of a way and pushing back and fighting back until now we've come to the place where we have violence almost any time that there is any kind of a political rally, almost any time there's anything like that that's going on, there's violence. Clubs, knives, pepper spray, bear spray, brass knuckles, iron knuckles, pipe. Why have we descended into that? Because we have lost something so valuable and fundamental in our lives, lost a teaching, part of our fabric, that we need to be willing to submit to one another. That's Scripture. It's Scripture. Now, I'm going to read a story in the book of Genesis. It's a beautiful story of submission. There are 12 that I have listed here today. They're all Old Testament. I'm not going to read all of them. I want to remind you of them. But I'm going to read this one. And I want you to think of it seriously as we read it. Genesis 22, beginning with verse 1. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. Before we read this story, I want you to realize that Isaac was not just a little guy at this point in his life. Isaac was probably somewhere in his early to mid-30s at this phase of his life. And here's the story. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Now you do remember that Isaac was a son of promise. Isaac was the one that God said He would give to him of His own seed. Isaac was the one who was the heir. Isaac was the only one that was from Abraham's loins. He was the only one. He was the son of promise. So God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Go offer him. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I, the lad, will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father?" He said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." We've read Genesis 22, verse 1 through 14. How did Abraham, an old man well past 100, bind his son Isaac and place him on an altar? Think about it. Did he knock him in the head? Did he wrestle him to the ground? Did he somehow put him to sleep? Reading the account of this story would make me believe that there was a total act of submission on both of these parties. Abraham totally submitting himself to the will of God. And in the book of Hebrews it tells us that he was willing to do it, the son of promise, knowing that if he had slayed him, that God was also able to raise him up. So Abraham had enough faith and belief in God that he was willing to yield power, his power and authority, over to one that he had discovered was greater than himself. Realize that he was one that was able to do so much more than Abram could ever do, and that God could be trusted, and that if he would submit to him and just yield himself over to God, that everything would turn out well. It doesn't always look, folks, like everything is going to turn out well. Circumstances of life don't always look like they're going to turn out well. It didn't look that way just looking at the visuals here, just the visuals. It didn't look real good. Now, let's look at Isaac. Supposing him to be in his early to mid-30s, unless he was a disabled young man, which we have no indication from the Scripture that he was. We have no indication from it before or after this that he was a man that was incapable, but he was physically mature, healthy, and strong. The Scripture says that he bound his son Isaac. How? "Isaac, it's time for me to bind you." "What's going on here, Dad?" I don't know all the things that took place, but I'm going to insert some of my own thinking here. "Son, God visited me. And he told me that I was to come here to this mount with you, and that I was to put you on this altar, and I was to sacrifice you. You mean it, Dad? Yes, son. That's what God told me to do. Now, I don't understand it. And I'm inserting my own thoughts here, by all means, you understand. But I look at this picture and I'm thinking, why else would Abraham be able to bind his son, who was physically stronger likely than his old father was, because his father was well up over 100 years old now. And this man, in his early to mid-30s, fully capable of overpowering, I believe, his father, and said, I'm out of here. Oh, no. No, no, no. You got this all wrong. I am not going to yield to this. Oh, no. But I think what we don't have here is all the other words that tell us what took place, is that for this to happen as it did, somebody had to yield. And I think it was two people that had to yield. I believe that Abraham had to yield to one that was higher than him. And I believe that his son had to yield to two that were higher than him. His father and his father's father, if you will. The Father in heaven, who was willing to give, who gave this test to Abraham to see if he was willing to follow through with it. I said to you, throughout the Scriptures, there is an overarching principle of submission to God that is for you and me to follow through life. And we ought to follow that. And we will be blessed if we will follow that. We'll be benefited if we will follow that. And thank God for the way this turned out, that Abraham took the knife to come down with that stroke on his son. Abraham, 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 here I am. Abraham, don't do it. I see there's nothing here that you were holding back. You were very willing to do what I ask you to do. I'm not requiring it. Don't do it. Step away. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. And a ram was found in a thicket and was offered instead. I think this is here for more than one reason, folks. One is for you and me to understand what submission is in the Scriptures, and another to show us how it was with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Submission. Being willing to yield to another, which Jesus absolutely did to His Father. But He didn't just yield to His Father. Folks, He yielded to you and me. Because it couldn't have happened. Our salvation couldn't have been purchased any other way. He did that. He submitted to you and me. He submitted His life so we could be free. Now I'm going to list 12 others here. Noah. Scripture says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord told him to build an ark. Noah, I want you to build an ark for the saving of yourself and your household. Because I'm going to send a flood. A flood? What are you talking about, a flood? Never been anything like that. Flood? How big? Build an ark that big? Me? How am I going to do something like that? Well, it took him a long time to do it. But when he did it, I don't believe that Noah pushed back against God, you see. I believe that he realized that that was what God said to do, and he submitted himself and he went to work doing it. And it saved him and his household, just like God said. Then there was Abram, of course, we just read. There's Isaac, we just read about. There's Jacob. Jacob had to submit. Jacob had to learn how to submit to God. Jacob had to learn how to submit to authorities. Jacob had to learn how to make that trip down to Egypt and accept food from his own son. Joseph had to learn submission. Joseph had to learn. He learned it kind of the hard way. Usually that's pretty much the way most of us learn it, is the hard way. We're all really going to learn it. Joseph, down in the land of Egypt, when his brothers came to him, when they found out who he was, "This is it for us, guys. We're done for now." Because I know he remembers what we did to him. And he said to them, "Am I in the place of God? You meant it for harm to me, but God meant it for good and to save much people alive." He learned how to submit. Moses, Joshua, Daniel. If any man prays to any god other than the king for 30 days, he'll be cast into the den of lions. Daniel, who did he submit to? God. He went right back to his room, opened his window toward Jerusalem as he had done before, and prayed. Thrown in the lion's den. King couldn't sleep. The next day, early as he could, rolled back that stone. "Daniel, Daniel, O Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest able to deliver thee? O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. I sat right here all night, and a power greater than you and a power greater than me did something with these lions." Because the king, the scripture tells us that every night, if I remember correctly, that they would hear those lions growling and roaring down in that pit. And that night they were quiet. Well, was it because they had a meal? King couldn't sleep all night long. But Daniel said, "King, live forever. My God, whom I serve continually, shut their mouths, and they have not hurt me." The three Hebrews. When you hear the horn blast and you hear all kinds of music, know that all men shall bow down and serve the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And they didn't bow. They didn't bend. They didn't bow. They didn't burn. They had opportunities to do it again. Decree given again. Wouldn't do it. They were thrown in. And they came out. "Didn't we throw three men bound into the furnace?" "Yes, we did, O king. Why was it I see a fourth man? It looks like the Son of God." And they called him out of there. Submission. Elijah. Elisha. The widow of Zarephath. "I've got two, just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and I'm gathering two sticks for me and my son. We're going to make a fire with these sticks and bake this last loaf of bread, and that's it. After that, it's done. Make me a little cake first." "What?" "Yeah, make me a little cake first. Because God said that the meal wouldn't lack and the oil wouldn't lack till the day He sends rain. Go ahead and make me a little cake first." How hard would that be? It's all you had left. It's all you had left. Make me a little cake first. But when she was willing to submit to that, the meal stayed and the oil stayed until the time of rain. Now turn with me to the book of James. Chapter 4. Verse 1. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God resisteth the proud. Thayer's definition says to range in battle against. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? He resists the proud. He ranges himself in battle against the proud. He opposes them. He resists them. I don't want to be in the place to where if I'm not willing to submit to God, that He has a battle line drawn for me, and if I'm unwilling to submit to Him, be kind of like a Balak with that donkey. He tried to get that little donkey to keep going. And that donkey turned around and crushed his foot against the wall. You crazy donkey, why don't you go on? Go, just go, let's go. And the donkey was able to see something that he wasn't. An angel drawn with his sword. An angel with his sword drawn, rather. Ready to take his life. You see, folks, God has lines drawn. And He's not going to allow us to go beyond those without repercussions, without penalties. Something will have to happen. Something has to happen. I believe that's where we are in our society today. We're seeing it. We've gone beyond the boundary, and now we're suffering the repercussions of it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. The word submit, to arrange under, subordinate, to be put in subjection, to subject oneself, to obey, to submit to one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If I'm willing to submit to Him, if I'm willing to yield to Him, to arrange under Him, to subordinate myself to Him, then I put myself in the place where I can receive benefit from the Lord. Instead of having Him lined up against me with a battle line, He's willing to do my part and help me in these places. That's what I need desperately. We need it desperately. 1 Peter 5:5 says something very similar. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Same words, same definitions. Folks, it's the Scripture. Submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another. We would do much better in our world today if we were able to learn how to, I don't have to agree with you, but at least I can understand where you're coming from. And if you can understand that I'm not going to agree with you, don't even anticipate me getting in your line and fighting with your cause. But I want you to understand that I have a cause also. And I've faced mine differently than you face yours. I say to us today, folks, we've gone to a place where we're like this. In our society, in our nation. We have gone, the battle lines are drawn, and we're in trouble. Because no one wants to submit. And we planted the seeds a long time ago with, don't touch my child. What do you mean? What do you mean he failed that test? What do you mean he didn't make a good grade on that project? We'll just see about that. We'll just see about that. We'll take this as high as we need to take it. We'll see if we can't get something done about that. Instead of learning and teaching our children how to submit to authority, we say, you don't have to suffer the repercussions of your actions. I'm going to step in and take care of this. And we teach them how to do that kind of thing in their lives, and they follow after our footsteps, folks. We're reaping that today. I recommend to you a thorough study of the Scripture, Romans 13:1. I recommend a thorough study of that Scripture, that one verse. That Scripture has to do with every class of people. Let every soul, none accepted, none eliminated, every class of people. It has to do with every class of people. It has to do with the peace of our society and of our world. It has to do with every class of people. It has to do with the peace of our society and the peace of our world. I need your prayers. Lord, help me to know how to conduct myself in this world we're living in now. Lord, help me know how to promote your cause. Help me know how to shine in this world in which we live. Help me know how to do what I can where I can. Help me to know, Lord, how to best approach these things. Help me, Lord, to know what to say and when to say it. If I do it right, I just might be able to help someone. But if I do it wrong, and I put myself in the same place as some of the other groups, and I handle it the wrong way, then I put myself at risk of putting God in the light of being just as bad as some of the other things that are going on in society. You pray for me. God help us each one. Thank you for your time and attention. Amen.